Good morning. Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus, he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Monica. As we prepare for our message this morning, would you join with me in just a moment of prayer? Let us pray. God, this is a glorious morning in which your good news is made known to us in so many ways, surprising and unexpected as the birth of a child. May you speak again this morning to us, either through me or in spite of these words. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning and happy birthday to Jesus. As we've been preparing for Christ's birth over the past four Sundays here at St. Luke's, we've been taking a journey through several different Christmas traditions. So you might remember several weeks ago we began looking at wreaths and greenery, and then talked about Christmas cards, gifts, and stockings. And then last night for Christmas Eve, we visited a tradition that for many of us, we've participated in our whole lives, which is the lighting of a candle on Christmas Eve that we hold up in the midst of the darkness. Well, this morning we're gonna take a little twist on our Christmas traditions, and we're gonna spend some time thinking about birthdays. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, birthdays were something that took a lot less decorating than getting ready for Christmas. You see, I grew up in a household, I had a sibling, a younger sister, and for me, birthdays were kind of a low-key affair. I mean, we always had a cake, and there were candles, and maybe a couple of presents, but sometimes we would wait to celebrate when we could get several family members together and kind of do a joint birthday. Sometimes it would, once or twice maybe we had a party where I invited like friends to come over, but birthdays were fairly low-key for me. My wife's family, on the other hand, took the exact opposite approach. You see, she's an only child. And so for her, birthdays were like your entire day on the calendar. You got to pick what you wanted to eat, what you wanted to wear. There was always a party that involved friends and decorations, sometimes a theme, right? And so you can imagine that when the two of us got together and got married several years ago, this went really well, right? Oh. But it led me to the question as I was reflecting on birthdays, where do birthdays even come from, right? How did this tradition get started for us? And so this morning, to help us into that, I want to play a little game and test your knowledge. So here it goes. There are three scenarios, possibilities I'm going to give you. I'm going to ask you to vote in just a minute. So one explanation for how birthdays got started is way back with the ancient pharaohs, okay, back in Egypt. Another explanation for how birthdays got started is with the birth of Jesus, right? December 25th, the day that we're at today. A third explanation for the cynical among you for how birthdays got started is something to do with the commercial baking industry. So here we go. We're going to do a little quiz just to see where you are. So how many of you think birthdays began with the ancient pharaohs way back in Egypt? Raise a hand. That's a pretty good number, maybe a third of you. All right, how many think that birthdays got started with the birth of Jesus? Oh, we're doing pretty well, probably half. All right, anybody for birthdays getting started with the commercial baking industry? Okay, there are a few of you, just to be clear, if you're watching online and you can't see the hands. Well, the truth of the matter is that all three of them play a part in this, and so in a way, you're all right today. But the oldest recorded story of a birthday that we get actually comes to us from Scripture, from the early part of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 40, verse 20. And in this story, what we see is a man named Joseph. You'd be familiar with him. He's a young man who makes his way to Egypt because his brothers sell him to some traitors. And along Joseph's story, he ends up in prison, wrongly accused. And so in prison, Joseph is given a gift by God. He's able to interpret dreams. And this is the gift that ultimately gets him out of prison and lands him as Pharaoh's right-hand person as they move forward. But here's what Genesis 40:20 says. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. And the story goes on to talk about what happens to the chief baker and the chief cupbearer. But you see, the way this tradition got started is that pharaohs thought of themselves as men who, on their coronation, when they became a pharaoh, literally became like a god. And so the anniversary of their coronation was celebrated as their birthday. This is what's really being recorded here in Scripture. And so it's the day in which Pharaoh thinks that he moves from being a man to being more like a god. Now, the ancient Greeks then pick up on this tradition over time, and there are little cakes that get baked kind of in the form of a moon to celebrate the lunar god Artemis, and they put candles then on this little moon-shaped cake to light it up. Over time, the Romans then pick up this tradition, only they add a new little twist, which is that they begin to celebrate the birthdays or coronation dates of important men in their community. And so King Herod, in fact, his birthday is mentioned in the New Testament as a date that we might know. And so this tradition continues, but Christians don't actually get to the birthday party until a little late, about the 4th century. What happens is as Christianity becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire, it becomes important that we have specific dates that we can all agree upon. And so the date of December 25th was fixed as the date of Christ's birthday, and became a big celebration that plays itself out over time. What we notice, of course, as December 25th becomes the official date for Jesus' birthday, is that the tradition shifts again, right? Instead of a date when a man becomes like a god, we now get the picture of a date in which God becomes like a man and dwells among us. And each year as we gather and celebrate our own birthdays, we express gratitude for the gift of God working among us. Which is, I think, what is heard in the scripture reading that Monica just read for us, these words from Zechariah. He says this, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, the one that you and I know today as Emmanuel, God with us." Now, at the time Zechariah is speaking, I think the people would have been really surprised by the words he utters. You see, you have to remember that an angel came to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth at their very old age and told them that they were to expect a child. And in his disbelief, Zechariah is suddenly rendered mute. He's unable to speak during the time in which Elizabeth is pregnant. So he hasn't said anything for about 9 months. Some of the first words then, after this baby, who is John the Baptist, is born, is these words recorded for us in Scripture, which for people who have felt like they are living under oppression from the Romans would have been really good news. And it shouldn't surprise us that Zechariah would be the bearer of this good news, because Zechariah literally means God remembered. God remembered that the Israelites living in captivity were not a forgotten people. In his tender mercy, Scripture goes on to say, God is offering a light to us, to people who sit in darkness, the knowledge that God will forgive our sins and redeem us. This is the prophecy that Zechariah speaks. And so God takes on flesh, right, and enters our world and has a birthday, and a candle, as we celebrated last night, is lit. And each year, as we come to our birthday, we add another candle, right? We pause for a moment and to remember that God is with us. And I think God's hope is that each year that we add to our lives, that our candle, as they multiply, our light might shine just a little bit brighter to bring more light into those places where darkness still exists. This is work that we don't do alone, right? Being a light in a dark world is hard work. And so I think one of the blessings of birthdays is that you celebrate them by gathering with family and friends, right? People who can remind you that your light is supposed to be multiplied, or to keep that light shining, no matter what it is that this year or any year may have brought. As I think about this power of letting our light grow and impact the world around us, I've been reminded of one of my absolute favorite birthday stories. It's a true story, and it happened to a man named Tony Campolo. He's a sociologist, an author, and also a pastor. But Tony had the opportunity one time to fly from his home in the Eastern time zone in Pennsylvania to Hawaii for a vacation. It was his visit to the 50th state. It's the only one he hadn't yet been to. And if you've ever had that experience of traveling from the Eastern time zone or to a different time zone, you know that it can be a little disorienting, right? Your body doesn't adjust immediately. And so this is what happened for Tony. He found himself wide awake at about 3 o'clock in the morning in his hotel room, and after tossing and turning for a little while, he said, "Oh, I've had it," unlike Jamalyn, who managed to go back to bed this morning. And in the midst of that, he put on some clothes and went out and said, "You know what, I might as well at least try to get some breakfast and a cup of coffee." And so as he makes his way out into the dark of that Honolulu morning, he begins walking around searching for a place to get some breakfast. And he sees just up ahead, a couple of blocks, a diner. Makes his way there and pulls open the door and immediately realizes that this is one of those greasy spoon kind of places. You know, where your feet kind of stick to the floor a little bit? Yeah. But Tony's already in, and he doesn't think he's got too many better options. And so he comes in and he sits down at a stool at the counter. The guy behind it, the counter, seems friendly enough. And he says, "Well, you know, what can I get you?" Tony says, "I'll have a cup of coffee and a donut." At which point the man reaches behind him and with his bare hand grabs a donut off the shelf, puts it on a plate, and sets it in front of him. So Tony's sitting there drinking his coffee and eating his donut when all of a sudden the door of the diner bursts open and in walk three women, loud and boisterous, laughing and talking together. And they sit at the counter right next to Tony. Now as they're talking, and he sort of sizes them up quickly, and in his mind he's thinking, these are folks who have had a hard life. They may even live on the street. But certainly they are the kind of women who are out late and probably don't go to church all that often. And so here they are as they're sitting and talking. Tony is trying to figure out, how can I quickly finish my coffee and sort of move on with my morning? When he overhears this conversation, one of the women, her name he discovers later is Agnes, turns and says to the other, "You know, tomorrow is my birthday. I'll be 38. To which one of her friends replies, "It's your birthday. Well, so what do you want me to do, like bake you a cake or something? I mean, really?" And Agnes says, "Well, you know, I've never really had much of a birthday. Parties just weren't a thing as I was growing up, so no, I don't expect you to do anything. It's okay." And it's at that point that Tony Campolo orders a second cup of coffee. And as the women wrap up their conversation and make their way out of the diner, he lingers and he says to the guy behind the counter, "Do these women come in often? Are they regulars?" And he goes, "Who? Agnes and her friends?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, they're regulars. Why?" And he goes, "Well, I overheard her say that tomorrow's her birthday and that she's never really had a birthday party." And the guy goes, "Oh, okay." Tony goes, "I got an idea. What if I came back here tomorrow at 3:30 in the morning and I brought some decorations and we threw her a birthday party?" He goes, I'll get a cake. I'll sort of arrange for the whole thing. And the guy behind the counter breaks into a big grin and he says, oh, no, 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 no. I'll get the cake. So sure enough, at 3:30 the next morning, Tony is back with his crepe paper decorations and a big sign that says happy birthday that they hang on the wall. Only apparently the guy behind the counter has gotten the word out because the place is sort of packed wall to wall, right? With other women and folks who apparently stay out late as well in Honolulu early in the morning. And so as the 4 o'clock hour nears, Tony sort of quiets the group down. And then all of a sudden, the door swings open, and in walks Agnes and her friends. And everybody yells out, surprise, and happy birthday, and they begin to sing. And Agnes is just stunned, standing there. And as the guy behind the counter walks out with the cake and the candles, her lips begin to quiver. And then she just sobs. And as the tears come and they finish singing, the guy goes, Agnes, blow out the candles. And she just can't. And so he has to do it for her. And then finally she begins to get her composure, just a little bit at a time. And she takes the cake in her arms and she says, would it be okay? I just live a couple blocks from here. And I'd like to take the cake home to show it to my mom. Would it be okay if I just take the cake home and come back? And the guy who's baked the cake behind the counter goes, look, it's your birthday. You can do whatever you want. So she takes the cake and turns around and walks out the door. At which point, Tony Campolo is standing there with a room full of women at 4 o'clock in the morning without a birthday cake or a birthday woman. So he does the only thing that comes to mind for him, which isn't what would have come to mind for me. He says, how about we pray? And so sure enough, everybody bows their head and he grabs a hand and he prays for Agnes. He prays for her mom. He prays that she would know how precious she is and how much God loves her. And that God wants for her a life that is as full and vibrant and joyful as possible. And that's why God sent a son to be born in our midst. And after he finishes praying, the group slowly begins to wrap up and people trickle out of the diner until finally all that's left is Tony and the guy behind the counter, right? The guy behind the counter looks at him and says, you know, I didn't know that you were a part of a church. And Tony says, well, yeah. He says, what kind of church do you belong to? And Tony, in a moment that he can only describe as divine inspiration, says, I belong to the kind of church that throws birthday parties for women who stay out late and don't go to church much at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the guy behind the counter looks at him and he just shakes his head and he goes, no. No, you don't. He says, you don't belong to a church like that, because if there were a church like that, I would go to that church. I would go to that church. And you know what? So would I. I'd go to that church. You know who else I think would go to that church? I think a pregnant teenage girl would go to that church. I think a religious leader who is questioning his faith and not believing the promises of God would go to that church. And I hope you would too. And this is where I think we might discover the real hope that we could find in birthdays. You see, birthdays are a celebration, but they're also an opportunity. I think the closest question Jesus got about birthdays was from a religious leader who came to him in the darkness of night. And what Jesus said was that the way to God is to be reborn. Our first birth, of course, is from our mother. It's a birth of water. But he said the second birth that we have is by the Holy Spirit. And that second birth is about embracing God come to earth, who remembers us, who remembers Agnes, and who wants you and I to be the light to the world. We have this opportunity every Christmas to be reborn in this way. to make a fresh start, and to be surrounded every birthday by those who can help us live it out, to remember that in God, Christmas is really our birthday too, a second chance, an opportunity to be light and hope to the whole world. Amen and amen.